Stay tuned for Naturalistic Support coming up. It is now 2 p.m. and this is WBAI New York.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to Naturalistic Support. I'm Arnell Doré, and joining me today is Elaine Durbach. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Arnell.
Hi. For our new listeners, Naturalistic Support is an approach to lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. On this program, we combine a progressive understanding of our human experience with peer support. And that way we can help each other. And also we can help when you call us to talk about yourselves as well as to talk to each other. Our number is 212-209-2877. And today we're going to consider how naturalistic humanism has far-reaching implications for our entire society. As we demonstrate each week, naturalistic humanism supports lasting personal growth and healthier, more satisfying relationships. It also provides an approach to building dynamic experimental communities. But naturalistic humanism also has profound implications for how we can create a more socially just, equitable, and stable society. What happens if we let go of blame and judgmental thinking when we rebuild our social institutions? So, before we get into talking about the naturalistic humanist ideas that concern becoming a healthier and better society, first I'd like to acknowledge this extraordinary moment that we're in. Just so many victories between last night's victories of the election of Mamdani, Mikey Sherrill, and Spamberger in Virginia, and Prop 50 getting adapted in California. Just a couple weeks ago, 5 to 7 million people protesting on No King's Day. And the Democrats finally showing a little backbone and not caving and demanding that these health care subsidies get restored. And this is kind of an amazing time, which I think few weeks ago we might not have predicted. So maybe there are people out there who are feeling cautiously optimistic. And if you are feeling cautiously optimistic, or even devil-may-care optimistic, we'd like to hear from you. Call us and tell us about it. Tell us how you had been feeling and if these events have changed anything. Or perhaps you don't feel optimistic. Perhaps none of these events really have pulled you out of your deep sadness for the way things have been going in our country. We want to hear from you about that too. Go ahead, Elaine.
You set such a high standard for how we can behave. You know, not blaming each other, not crowing over defeat, not claiming, you know, who's good and who's bad. But it's such a euphoric day. It's such a feeling of that possibility all of a sudden. I hope some of our listeners are feeling energized by what's happened.
Yeah, hopefully they do. You know, either way, we want to hear from them. Either way, if they are feeling energized, really call up and share that energy, and that will help energize others as well. But if you're not feeling, you know, that energized, if you're still, you know, brooding over what we're going through as a whole, call us and let's talk about that.
Okay, so we're promising support and comfort either way.
Yeah, exactly. That way we cover the span. So one aspect of naturalistic humanism and society that's relevant is naturalistic humanism tries to take a systematic analysis. Elaine, maybe you could read a little bit from a systematic analysis. This is from the chapter of my book, Why History Has Not Yet Begun, the chapter titled Changing Everything. And this is about systematic analysis.
Okay. So a significant factor resulting in our society failing to make necessary change involves how we misunderstand the effects of our institutions and social and economic system. We continually mistake behavior resulting from our primitive institutions as indicative of our true human nature. Historically, when we feel social economic pressure, the general population turns to populist politics in which a particular group, for instance, the blacks, Native Americans, Jews, Muslims, Mexicans, queer, non-gender conforming people, and occasionally even the elites, are characterized as the true source of everybody's problems. The populist tradition of designating a scapegoat takes the place of systemic analysis. Populist politics redirect dissatisfaction that people have with our social economic system and institutions. The common belief is that if the groups or individuals identified as problematic were removed or defeated, then whatever is wrong would be fixed. In reality, our institutions make us who we are. If all of the problem people were to disappear today, our institutions would quickly repopulate every vacancy. Yep. Another aspect of populist misconception involves the way we attack the messenger rather than the message. In online social forums and in the media, it's common to see individuals being condemned for comments that may be ignorant or sexist, racist, homophobic, transphobic, or considered insulting to a marginalized group. And although attacking the moral character of the commentator may be gratifying for those who already agree, such attack has a very limited chance of persuading anyone else. A more influential discussion might be possible if, instead of focusing on the commentator's moral status, what was being challenged was limited to the statement in question. The naturalistic, humanistic, non-blaming approach towards considering social political issues avoids the problem of dissatisfaction being misdirected to scapegoated individuals or groups. Without groups or individuals to blame, we can redirect our attention towards the problems inherent to the social economic system itself.
Yeah, let's just pause there for a second. The importance of this seems like it's reflective of so much that's going wrong in our current situation, because you know, we're pointing the blame at each other, and no matter what we think about what group is problematic, the system creates the groups. I mean, there's an interaction. The group also creates the system. But basically, once you have the system, it's going to be self-perpetuating. And that's something that we don't seem to recognize. And we often will shoot the messenger. You know, people will... so much of the time we don't interact with the ideas that people bring to the discussion. We just kind of discredit somebody because maybe at some point 5 years ago they associated with somebody else that we don't like, or you know, there's we're so into blaming people that we lose the grappling with the ideas that they represent and grappling with the institutions we have. And we
see that, yeah, like all the time with the, we have a president who loves to do that labeling, that boxing, but then we turn around and do the same thing to him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Elaine, we have a caller on the line, so let's take that one. This is WBAI, you're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Yeah, good afternoon. How you doing? It's Ed from South Jamaica, Queens. How you been?
Hey, good, Ed. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, it's good. Hello to your guests, too. To be totally honest with you, I'm a poll worker also, so I worked the polls last night in New York.
Oh, good. Oh,
excellent. Great.
And it's so good. You know, it feels good after all of the years we go through with the administration and everything else that's going on. My Johnny's wind felt good. You know, it's a little hope.
Yeah.
And you know me, I'm very pessimistic. So if I'm thinking there's some hope, then it's got to be something.
That's good.
You're former military, right, Ed?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's a ray of hope, man. I mean, I thought people, you're really not supposed to speak about your choices when you're a poll worker or speak with the people that are voting just.
Sure.
Take the procedure, but you know what happened, man? There was a lot of alcohol flowing, and people were really happy.
Yeah.
Did you have to keep a straight face all the way through, like not show what you were feeling?
Yes, but between you and me, I did. I really did. I mean, we're not supposed to listen to the results, but I had my headphones in, and as I was facilitating the voters, don't tell nobody. But once I heard the landslide, I told some of my coworkers, you know, people, you know, it's so good. You know, it's a hope. Change for New York after all the garbage, especially all the garbage this nation is going through.
Yeah.
It's so good to feel good.
Yeah, no, thank you, Ed. Thanks for calling, and I really appreciate your energy. And thanks for being a poll worker. That was great,
yeah,
man. That, you know, good on you. Really appreciate it. All right, we got to move on. Thanks, Ed. We have another caller on the line. And our number is 212-209-2877. And we are talking about society today. And we want to hear if you're feeling good about the way things are going after last night, or maybe last night wasn't enough for you and you're not feeling good yet, or you're cautiously feeling good. Give us a call, 212-209-2877, and we take our next caller. This is WBAI. You are on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Hi.
Hey.
It's Nikki from the Bronx, and I am from for me.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like putting a big Z in front of my chest. It's more than hope, and I keep hearing hope, which is great because we feel so drained, you know. I work the polls as well, by the way, in the Bronx.
Oh, good for you.
People showed up, yes. And although I had to maintain neutral, because people would talk to me and I'd say, I can't discuss, you know. But they would tell me, you know, because voters can do anything, is their option.
Like, right.
Well, I'm not discussing with you. I'm telling you, reach for me. I said, okay. You know?
Yep.
And the only disappointing thing is people really you know, about the proposals. I really didn't want to lose city council control, and that's a little, you know, it makes me feel foreboding. Like, will that get in his way or be manipulated? I don't think, you know, I think there should be in the future more, like, seminars to educate people, because people, from what I see, that it, they weren't clear about what it could be, because it was very tricky language.
Yeah.
People tend to adhere to the word fast track, as in lack of bureaucracy, but sometimes you need something to go through different hands.
Yeah.
You don't want to fast track stuff.
Yeah.
You want your voice to be heard.
Right.
You want to have public hearings and things like that, you know?
Let me just ask you, like, on a national level.
I'm just sorry. So I just want to ask you, what do you
feel on a national level? Are you more optimistic, you know, nationwide?
I tend to be anyway to cling to that. Otherwise, I could go the other way and be depressed.
Yeah.
I push through all the time, but, you know, I'm a faithful listener for years, and I cling to the good in everybody. And I'm out there, and I went to No Kings, and I'm for tenants, and I see a lot of good out there. It just doesn't get enough play.
Yeah, yeah, no.
We need to keep the momentum.
Yep.
The ingredients are there. We just have to keep the momentum.
Absolutely.
And by the way, we shouldn't be nice all the time. Sometimes we have to say, like, when he comes in, the mayor, because I heard already that Adams is going to try something, implement something that's going to get in the way of him doing the rent freeze. So I think we need to say, no, you got to go. He's the mayor now. And, you know, like, prophecy. Like, don't just be reactionary to the bad,
yeah,
but have your own stuff.
No, he's a lame duck, and the sooner he's out, the better. But it's going to go quick. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, just January 1st, I think the mayor takes the office. So that's going to come quick.
That's a very good point. He mustn't do damage between now and then.
I agree. Thank you so much for your call, and thanks for your poll working, and right on. It's a good moment. Appreciate it. Our number is 212-209-2877, and we want to hear if you're feeling more optimistic after last night. If you're not, we want to know that too. Going back to the material, it's the system itself that we've got to recognize is causing the problem. What do you think, Elaine?
We're inclined to look at the smaller, easier things to blame. But seeing the system all around us definitely hits home in a more accurate way.
Yeah.
But it stretches the mind to see it that way.
Now, seeing socioeconomic problems as primarily institutional rather than, say, personal, is a significant part of what separates a progressive from a conservative. Because let's take, for example, an impoverished black family. A progressive might view that situation as a result of unjust governmental policies and social practices, including a long history of discrimination in vital areas of life, including employment, housing, getting a mortgage, access to good schools, in combination with abusive policing and other innocuous practices. Including slavery and generations of torture and forced involuntary labor. So conservative Americans instead tend to focus on the extent that discriminatory practices in recent decades have been ameliorated, if not fully eliminated. They regard blaming institutions as an excuse in order to avoid taking personal responsibility. rather than regarding the disproportionate impoverishment of Black Americans as the collateral damage of racist institutional policies, conservatives are more likely to regard an impoverished Black family as people who are simply failing to make good personal choices and take steps available to them to improve their lives. And they justify this by pointing to a relative few outliers who did manage to escape their poverty, claiming that, quote, if they can do it, you just have to want to, and anyone can. We'll go back to this. I think we have, we've got other callers on the line, so let's try to get some in.
Okay, can I welcome someone in?
Please do, Elaine.
Okay, hi, this is WBAI. You are on the air. Who's calling? And where are you calling from?
Hello, caller.
Did I chase them away?
Caller, you're on the air. Please speak.
Thanks, Reg.
Thank you, Reg.
All right. You know what? Clearly, this person doesn't understand instructions. We're going to go to the next caller.
Okay. Go ahead, Elaine.
Okay. This is WBAI with Reg at the helm here. You are on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Preston calling from Long Island.
Hi. How's it looking on Long Island today?
Yeah, I'm just calling. I just think it's interesting. Everyone is so excited about the election. And I guess it is exciting a little bit, but, you know, it's interesting how every election people get so excited and then nothing really changes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just go down the line of any, even with Trump, you know, the people who liked Trump were so excited too. So, you know, to a certain degree, I think people need to start waking up to our system. I think our elections are meant to pacify people. They're meant to make people think they have some kind of choice, some kind of agency, and they actually don't. I don't think anything really can change. Maybe we can get a few good things like free buses or something like that. That would be great. You know, like maybe there'll be a few concessions, but overall, I think it's clear that nothing really changes when it comes to elections. And in my opinion, I've come to the conclusion, or I'm beginning to believe, that the elections are there simply to trick people into thinking they have some kind of say and they don't.
I have a question for you. You said Justin is your name? I'm sorry, I couldn't catch that.
Preston.
So say it again.
It's Preston.
Preston. Yes, Preston. My question for you is this. Don't you think that the election of Trump made all the difference, made a big change in our country for the worse?
Not really, because I think these assaults on people's rights happen regardless of who's in office. It's just with Trump, they attack people's rights from one angle. You know, the Democrats attack people's rights from another angle. I think they're all working together. Like, it's like WWE. They're all deciding things behind the scenes, and then they pretend there's some kind of fight for the public. Like, so Trump is doing this stuff with ICE and with the Gaza protesters. But Biden did this stuff with people who were against the COVID mandates and people who were... Biden was the one who was busting all of the immigrants in. So it's like a big scam. They bust them in, they create the quote unquote problem, and now they have these detention center economies that are like supposedly bigger than the prison economy.
Yeah.
So one of them ships them in and exploits them for cheap labor, and then the other puts them in the detention centers, and they're just working together. It's like a human trafficking ring. You know, so
I hear you, Creston, and I appreciate that. You're one of those people out there who are not impressed by last night, and you kind of have a pessimistic view of what the future holds, I guess.
More just realistic.
Yeah. You know, optimists and pessimists always say that. Like, for example, people tell me I'm an optimist, and I'll be like, no, I'm a realist. But I hear you, man. And
proof is in the pudding. You know, just look at all these elections that everyone says all these things were going to change. I mean, as bad as what's going on with Trump, is it really affecting your life? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's really affecting most people's lives.
Kristen, we have people going hungry.
We have people getting scooped up off the streets. We have people who are afraid to drive their kids to school.
I know. It's terrible. It is terrible, but think about, like, did you guys support mandatory vaccines for people who didn't want them, forcing people to get injections of experimental medical procedures? I mean, I think that's pretty bad, too.
Yeah,
you know,
I hear you.
Funding Ukraine, you know, it's like both sides, they attack people's rights from one angle, then they get the people who support them to defend that.
Gotcha. Kristen, we have other calls that we got to get to, but thank you for your call, and really appreciate the way you're thinking about it is a little different than we're talking about. So thank you. And let's take the next call. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Russ in White Plains, Arnell.
Hey, Russ. How are you?
Hey, hi, Elaine.
Hi. Hi, Russ.
I have to agree with Preston. I don't get too excited about things, you know. My father said it's never as good as it seems or as bad as it seems. And I think that's where Preston is coming from. Okay, because I think that there's an element of balance involved. I want to ask you, Arnell or Elaine, do you think Mamdani would be mayor if Kamala Harris was elected as president? We'd have Blinken, and believe me, we'd have Cuomo, okay? And I just want to ask you, you know, I think the worm has turned. You can watch Trump melting down. And that's why I voted for Trump, because I think we have to hit bottom. We couldn't go on the way we were going. And I'm a Taoist. You know, I believe you move forward, you move backward. I want to know, is Taoism a facet of humanism? That's what I wanted to ask you that. I want to ask you, really, would Mamdani be mayor if Kamala Harris was elected? And that's along the lines of Preston's question about the vaccine. That was true authoritarianism. And I just, you know, I think we can have people making bad choices and a bad system. It's not either or. And one last thing, because I like to, you know, get out of the way for the other callers, is I have a problem with the nomenclature that Mamdani that we use. Why is it Democratic Socialist and not just Social Democrat? You know?
Yeah. Before you go, Russ, just so I can respond to your question about Taoism. What do you mean by Taoism? Because Taoism has a lot of different meanings and expressions, and it really ranges. So when you say is naturalistic humanism, you know, reflected in Taoism or the other way around, you got to be specific about what you mean.
Well, certainly, Arnell, I'm not a subject matter expert. I mean, my Taoism is, you know, from reading a few books here and there. I don't study, I don't really even meditate. But my understanding is Taoism accepts the light in the dark. And you just have to see how things fit together. I mean, Trump is going to destroy the U.S. economy. I don't think a communist could do it as well. But I wanted to add one last thing, is I have a problem with the nomenclature. They keep talking about a rent freeze. What it is no longer automatic rent increases. That's really what's going on. So I wish people would look at the nomenclature, yeah. But I'll give it away. So yeah, the good calls. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Russ. And let's just break for our halfway break, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to Naturalistic Support right here on 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
Non-commercial, listener sponsored.
Peace and Justice Radio.
On Wednesdays from 2 to 3, Naturalistic Support is taking listener calls, offering a revolutionary new way to think about ourselves and reach out to each other.
I just wanted to call in to give encouragement to the last caller.
Right on where I am right at this moment.
You really hit the proverbial nail on the head.
I really connected with what you were saying about loneliness.
We are hardwired to help each other.
Getting past the blame, owning your own truth, letting go of judgmental thoughts.
I felt so fortunate to hear this.
You went through every single one of the things that I've been working on for my life. Now, you said all that, I'm like, holy cow, what is this guy talking? Is he talking to me right now?
The naturalistic revolution is a game changer. listen to us break it down on Wednesdays from 2 to 3.
I want to thank you so much. You helped me so much.
Show me the prison. Show me the jail. Show me the prisoner.
And we're back. This is Naturalistic Support on 99.5 WBAI New York, and we're taking your calls at 212-209-2877. We have a caller on the line. Elaine, why don't you take this guy?
Sure. Hi, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and yes, where are you calling from? Yeah, hi.
I'm from Queens.
That's great. And your name?
Dr. Rupert Green.
Hey.
Hi, Dr. Green. Hi.
Yeah.
I am livid. Yeah. I am so livid at what is transpiring. First of all, I am livid that the black leadership did not direct the black constituents to a winner and told them to vote for Cuomo. I am livid at the hatred I see being espoused against this young man. Mm. It's similar to what happened when the Supreme Court said black people must go to school, 64 desegregation thing. When they burned school, they had a party to catch and kill blacks. And they did all those wicked things. It's similar rhetoric I see on the social media now, and I'm battling it. I am enthralled and excited at this young man who challenged the system and kick ass.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you're feeling combination of emotions about it. You're frustrated at all the garbage that's being thrown around, calling his parents a sleeping terrorist cell, just crazy stuff. But at the same time, he got elected, and that is really, I think, good news for all of us.
There were more of us than them.
Yes, indeed.
Yep, there's more of us than them, Elaine said, and that's I agree.
Yes, I was on social media rebuffing all those haters.
That was you?
Dr. Rupert Green. My thing is up there, left, right, and center, LinkedIn and Facebook. And it is good that this young man show that educators like myself can develop products that manifest in 15 years. Because usually teachers get their reward when a child comes back and say, hey, I am a doctor. That's 30 years from, they graduated. Yeah. But this is great. This is great for America. And this is showing Trump that if he comes after Mamdani, New York City will succeed from the United States.
Thank you, Dr. Green. Appreciate it. Call us again. Talk to you soon. Appreciate that.
Mamdani's comment to President Trump, turn up the volume.
Turn up the volume. It. Yep. No, I appreciate that. That's great. We have one more caller on the line here. Hello, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Hi, I hope that's me, Janine.
Hey, Janine. How are you?
Hi. Well, good. Actually, I lost my voice, but I'm very ashamed of my family, unfortunately, who they voted for. I personally voted for Kirk. I did not want a politician. I wanted something new. And I love Curtis, and I think he could have done a great job for the city. But this young man, I feel optimistic that he will do a good job. I feel he'll do the best he can. He's young. And but about this rent freeze stuff, like, I'm living on an inheritance right now. My husband had to sell his house. But to make a long story short, I'm going into my second year renting an apartment in my neighborhood, and I'm paying $7,000 a month only because, like I said, it's inherited money. Pretty soon it's going to be gone. I can't find something. I'm hoping this young man, how does that work for me if I'm in a building where there's people paying three bedrooms apartment for $15,000? Is this going to help me now? I'm 64, my husband's 71. And the only reason, like I said, we're here is because the inheritance money is paying for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying? I did want Curtis because, listen, I voted for Curtis. You know what? I'm very disappointed. Nobody talked. No one. They made Curtis not be involved. Like, and another thing, I never heard of a thing where two Democrats are running against one another. You want to change the name? That's a crop. You had a Republican, which I'm not. I'm an independent. And you have Democrats. All of a sudden, now you got two Democrats. You change your name. And then poor Curtis was left like a dog. Yeah. I think that's disgusting. I'm really sorry. And I'm disgusted that that was allowed.
Well, Janine, you know, it's great. It's great, though. It's great, though, that you're actually somebody who voted for SWIWA, but you're also happy to see Mamdani and kind of excited about it. And that's great.
That's great.
Yeah.
I wish other voters could feel that way.
My family is not speaking with me because when they came home, I was babysitting for my granddaughter, and the people that voted for Cuomo came home. They said, because you voted for Curtis, everything went to him. And I'm like, that's not true. And then, of course, they hate WBAI. They think it's the worst station in the world. So I'm outnumbered in my family. You understand? And I'm an Aries like Curtis.
You're like me.
He didn't back it down. That's why I'm brave.
Yeah.
And I said to my girls and my family, I'm ashamed. I didn't tell them. But when they hollered at me, I had to get up and walk out. I said, I can't fight.
Sometimes you gotta, you know, when it comes to family or close friends, you know, we're gonna do a program about this the week of Thanksgiving, bridging the communication gap. But when it comes to that, sometimes you have to let go of the politics and just talk about other stuff that matters.
I hate politics and I hate politicians. I never voted. You know who I voted for the first time? I despise politics. My husband ran for city council in Carroll Gordon. I had to become a Democrat to vote for him. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I am an independent, like Gary Knoll said. You understand? I did it, and I only do it because I will not just vote for anybody. There are people out there who just vote for anybody. That's insane.
Yeah. All right. All right, Janine. You know, definitely keep listening because we do talk about communication with family who are coming from a very different place. It's very tricky. And
tell them that you've just been on WBAI and we were proud to have you.
Yeah, we were happy to have you. Absolutely. Janine, thank you. Call us again. And we're at 212-209-2877, and we're talking about naturalistic humanism and society. And, I did want to go back to one of Russ's questions about the Tao and naturalistic humanism. As he was defining the Tao as, you know, having to do with, discerning between the light and the dark, the good and the bad, the right and the wrong, you know, that kind of binary is definitely pretty far afield from what we're trying to promote with naturalistic humanism.
Yeah. You know? Interesting.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting to me what you were saying about, you know, trying to focus on institutions and the larger forces shaping us, where we keep going back to this thing of individuals, like Janine's family, you know, blaming her for her choice. And her making this fairly interesting choice, that not looking at the factors behind it, not looking at the much larger issues that are shaping how we turn out.
Right, absolutely. We have a couple more calls to get in here, so let's try to do that. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello?
Beverly Hills.
Who
can hear me?
Who from Beverly Hills?
Steve.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, wow.
How are you
going?
Doing?
Right across the country.
You know, it's not my election time, but I see a lot of Shakespeare here. I know too much about Mr. Mondami. I call him Mondami Kloss because he's giving everybody free stuff, unsourced. Yeah, I'd like a new $45 million estate. Thank you very much.
So you are not buying into the excitement about him, right?
Well, he sounds so good. Sign me up. Put me on the list for free things.
Okay.
Put me on the list for. I'm going to take a twist here. We all come from Africa, okay? So, Pangaea was the name of the geography. So we are all natives of Africa. So give me my real estate in Africa, and give me the amortization on it. Since we're all indigenous to Africa, that's where I would take Mr. Mondami. If I were to
Steve, what would you say if I said that makes a lot of sense? But it really doesn't.
Oh.
Really, anyway, Steve, we have other calls we got to get to. So
look,
yeah. God bless you. No, you don't give me. You're not believing God, but there's a blessing. Thank
all right,
you.
Well, I'll take it. I could use all I can get.
He and I come from Cape Town for real, not prehistoric, not you know Tangier. We come from Cape Town, both of us.
Yeah, there you go. okay, this is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Hi, yes, Laura De Silva, East New York, Brooklyn.
From East New York, I missed your name. Say your name again.
Laura De Silva.
Laura. Hi, Laura. Yeah.
Yes. I wanted to comment about Mondami. I like him. He has a lot of energy. I think he can do the job. From this view, it probably looks difficult because New York really has a lot of issues. However, I was a history buff. I do remember they had socialism, I think, in Vienna back in the early, I think it was the 30s or whatever. But that power, they said it couldn't be done. They moved the Habsburgs out. It was a very powerful dynasty, you know. They moved them out. Socialism did. Now, how long this will last, if Mondami can pull it off, we don't know. But I have optimism with him. The times will be prosperous, and you know, the poor will be brought out of the obscure. Because I think he can do it. He says he can do it, and I believe him.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thanks for your opinion, Laura. Appreciate it. I'm glad that you're feeling optimistic. All right.
Thank you.
I think we might still have another call on the line. Let's see. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Melvin. I'm calling from Manhattan.
Hey, Mel.
Hi. So just real quick, I think you guys are doing a great job, and I'm excited about the results from last night, but I'm also realistic that I'm an African-American male, 66 years old, so when we got civil rights movement, like I was 6 years old, it was demonstration. It's not one man that's going to change the Democratic machine. Like, we have to back him up. We have to support him. We have to mobilize if necessary and demonstrate and keep him accountable to the things that he said he's going to do. But we have to remember that he's also fighting a Democratic machine that still caters to big business.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to take that in consideration. Just because he's in there, now they're not just going to give him go along with his policies, right? So we have to write, we have to mobilize, we have to demonstrate, right? So anybody thinking something different, I think they need to do a reality check. The other point I want to make very quickly is that the type of work that I do is to help people to find career paths for themselves, right? People that's living in shelters, is people that's getting arrested and being incarcerated. It costs millions of dollars to incarcerate a person. It costs thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars for a person in shelter. You can take $25,000 to $50,000 and train a person in a career.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The money that we spend policing people and incarcerating them, and when it comes to immigrants, what we spend like scooping them up off the street and send and trying to deport them, we could set those people up, you know, for life. It's crazy. It's insane.
Train them, maybe productive member of society, pay their rent, a big portion of their rent. So, you know, this whole thing needs to be taken a look at.
Yeah.
But the main thing is that we have someone in there, right, who has the gall, right, to stand up to Trump and stand up to the Democratic machine and the Republican machine, right, and want change for us. But we have to be accountable for the change also.
You know, Mel, that's a good point. And that's one of the main benefits, I think, that we can expect from the new mayor, that he might not be able to do some of the lofty goals that he's declared, but he's going to at least stand up to Trump. He's gonna protect the city, and I don't think he's gonna cave like our current mayor did. So
the democracy, right? He can't get free bus, but maybe he can get it like he can get half price for
right. Right. Right.
You know what I mean? He can't get total universal child care, daycare for everybody, but maybe he can get a discount or things of that nature, right? So the working man, my whole paycheck don't have to go towards my rent.
Yeah. Mel, you sound sensible. I wish that you would get into politics.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'll back you. How about that?
All right, my friend. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
And I think we still have another caller. Reg, correct me if I'm wrong. This is WBAI. You're on the air. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, maybe we...
Wait, caller, you're on the air. Please speak.
My name is Buddha. I'm calling from the Bronx.
Hey, I'm sorry. What was your name?
Buddha.
Buddha. Buddha. Great.
All right, listen. As it pertains to Mondami, I mean, listen, nobody's going to be perfect as any type of politician. Every politician is going to try to get certain things across and not be able to. I would just say, me personally, I'm ready to try... a different kind of politician. I'm definitely ready to try a female politician because I'm really sick and tired of these middle-aged white men with all this, you know, sexual
baggage, yeah.
All that nonsense.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. You had a guy called on before. It was Creston, and then the guy Russell, I hear him, he calls a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they said that, you know, look, I don't get happy or whatever. Well, all the things that go on, it doesn't really affect them. You see, this is where the disconnect is between, like, the cultures and stuff like that. When you got a guy like Stephen Miller talking that nonsense that he's talking to about how we got the full military behind you, after you owe your police
officer. Yeah, if you're a brown person, it's going to affect you.
Come on. I'm a black man. And look, I have families throughout the country.
Yep.
You know, I feel more comfortable traveling here in New York City. I know, you know, where to go. And I also have family in law enforcement. But, you know, when you say something like, that doesn't affect me, come on, stop it. That directly affects me.
Yeah.
And it also affects the interactions that you have with the police. When you use the word unleashed, and when you hear how police say they haven't been able to do their job, now we're giving them full immunity. Right. Listen, when they had full immunity, how did that work for my community?
Right.
These are things that black men find offensive when they hear people say things like that.
Yeah, Buddha, I just want to say on that point, I totally agree, and I think that when what we were listening to, what Preston was saying, I think was a very cynical, disaffected view. You know, where it doesn't matter. They're all, you know, they're all bad people. They're all dictators. They're all like ruling things, and things aren't going. It doesn't matter who you vote for, but I think it does, and I think you think it does, and I agree.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that everything is about perception. So if the cops, and like I said, I have family in law enforcement, but if the police perceive that. Especially since the George Floyd stuff. Now, people should not have been spitting at police officers in their face when they were, you know, protesting. And, of course, there were paid agitators breaking into Gucci stores and doing all different things like that. But you can't paint everybody with the same brush. But see, these institutions that have been along for years, they depend on painting everybody with a broad brush. So that way, like I like to say, well, there's a few bad apples. There's a few bad apples in everything. But there's bigger bad apples when you have a culture that has been cultivated of, I can do what I want to these people.
Yep.
And then I can say, look, all right, well, we found a gun in his car. Or we found some marijuana in his car. Or we found some cocaine. Or he was resisting arrest. Or he fit the description. Come on, stop it, man. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Our institutions create the tempo for the whole society, and that's part of what we were talking about. So you're really kind of touching on all the important points here, Buddha. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. And I think we still have a caller on the line.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's it. Thank you, Reg. Appreciate it. Elaine, that was a good call, wasn't that?
That was an excellent call. I'm sorry you didn't get to talking about role models, because I think that's a fascinating topic. Have we got time?
Yeah. Well, we got a couple minutes. You want to read a little bit from there?
Okay. I'll read what you were saying. By elevating role models as examples of what anyone can be if they want to, people who appear to have overcome adversity are used to debase others who haven't achieved similar results. If I can do it, anyone can, is a well-trodden declaration from the standpoint of the naturalistic model, it makes no sense. If I've done something difficult, what that demonstrates is that at least at one point in my life, my determinance enabled me to accomplish that difficult task. It may even be something I can do again, but given that our determinants are continually changing, it may not be. And as our determinants change, so do our abilities. And at any moment, you may be able to do something that you were previously unable to do. Or there may be something that you've done in the past that you can no longer do. At best, having achieved a challenging accomplishment only suggests that you might be able to repeat it, and it should not be taken for granted.
And what should never be assumed is that one person can do something just because another can't. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That role model thing gets so abused and used as a rationalization. You know, we point to outliers who accomplish extraordinary things. And for every outlier, there are millions of people who they're not outliers. They're just normal people. And
with different determinants, different supports might have been able to follow.
Right. So, you know, the question is really what optimizes people's capacity, what optimizes their full human potential. And clearly the way we distribute resources in our society fails to do that big time. So actually we're pretty much at the end, and we had some good callers.
We sure did. Great day to be doing this. There's so much to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe this is the start of something big.
I think we have a few new people coming into office who might actually support the idea of giving people better chances of achieving.
I think so. You've been listening to Naturalistic Support's look at God and judgmental thinking. No, it's not God. We were doing naturalistic humanism and society. Sorry, scratch that. I'm Arnel Doré. Today we're joined by Elaine Durbach. Thanks, Elaine.
My pleasure, Arnel.
And thanks to our talented engineer, Red Johnson, and to Hill Weiss for her support. Tune in again next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for another edition of our program. Archived editions of Naturalistic Support can be found on our website at WBAI.org and at EqualTimeForFreeThought.org. Hi to my foster mom, Marilyn, and stay where you are, because coming right up is the Katie Halper Show. And remember, always try to be kind, because you never really know what someone else is going through. My brother.
he ain't heavy. He's my brother.